Well, right before we went on the air today, Julia Pastel and I were trying to figure out how many years in a row we've done this March Madness Spectacular featuring the aforementioned Julia Pastel from CT Improv and Bill Curry from BillCurry.com, which doesn't really exist anyway. We concluded a lot of years, many years, but we didn't get more specific than that. And then we got tired. I think it might be like 2012, maybe. I don't know. We might have started it.
I thought you were going to say 20 years.
20 years. Yeah,
I would agree with
700
that.
Years. So,
and you guys look great.
We've both had a lot of work done.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about March Madness the way that we usually do. And by that, I mean that Bill has some serious things that he would like to say about basketball. Julia does not have any serious things that she would like to say about basketball. A little bit later in the show, Brian Curtis, who's editor-at-large for The Ringer, is going to join us, talk a little bit more about basketball. And also, towards the end of the show, every year, this is the tradition, the obscure college president of the year. This year, it will be the president of Lipscomb College. I've already talked to him. He did seem to like not know certain key things about that are going on campus right now. But anyway, he's a jovial person indeed. So Lipscomb.
Do you tell them that they're the obscure college?
I don't use the word
like
obscure.
Hidden treasure or underappreciated.
Yeah,
or,
I think obscure, though. Obscure college. I mean, did you ever heard of Lipscomb College prior to, like, sort of the bracket being drawn up?
I went to Lipscomb.
You didn't go to Lipscomb.
I'm a proud alumnus.
Lipscomb College is like this very, very conservative Christian school. But not a Catholic school like where you went.
Well, not like the conservative Christian school that I went to, right, Georgetown. Yeah.
So
no wonder I got confused.
Julia, had you ever heard of Lipscomb University?
No, I
Lipscomb
don't think
University.
So. Right. A hidden gem.
It is a hidden gem. Usually we feature Wofford. That's our favorite obscure college, but Wofford didn't do so well this year. All right, so we're going to begin with some overarching sentiments. Bill, why don't you start? If you had to sort of put your overarching philosophy about this year's NCAA tournament into just, you know, one little nutshell, what would be in that nutshell?
Well, first of all, it's so illustrative of the United States at this time. It's taking place under an extraordinary cloud of an FBI investigation, not just of one or two schools, but of literally the entire sport.
I actually tried to replace you with Jim Comey this year as the analyst, but he's just not available.
And as with the Olympics, these things fade. When you get to the moment, the game overtakes that. I don't know how many people will have their minds on the FBI investigation, but it won't be that many. It'd be a small number, even my guess. And just two things, though. Do people care about this stuff? Yeah, they care more about watching basketball during March Madness. But they care about what's happening, and they should. I was taking a look at the list of all the schools that have won multiple championships. And with the exception of UCLA, I don't know that UCLA is under investigation, but all the others have people who are looking at serious possibilities of prison time. Mm. For crimes committed while playing NCAA Division I basketball.
Right. So this is an important statistic to remember. Five of the last six NCAA champions are located in Russia. All right. So that's one overarching sentiment. Julia, you always have a theory, a working hypothesis for people who've got their brackets out, but they don't know. They're staring. They see all these names. They don't know what to do. They don't know what names to write in or anything like that.
Yes. Who are these schools? Who are these people? Okay. Yeah. So this year, my method, I really had to reach. So what I did was I went on TripAdvisor and I looked up a ridiculous local attraction for every college town. So some of these places are big schools like Miami, and some of them are in the middle of nowhere. So attraction versus attraction.
Could I just interject that Julia, who is less interested in basketball than the average person, spends way more time filling
way
out her brackets.
Time.
I mean, this is hours and hours of work that you just did.
It was a journey through America.
And I know I'm not supposed to interject here either, but I would just like to say, this lady is some kind of crazy.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
I could have spent the last
that was a hot take.
8 years or whatever learning about basketball, but instead I just Google everything.
I've been told 2010 is when we started doing these. 2010.
Oh wow.
So do the math.
9 years. Ten years.
Well,
10 years. 12 years.
17. I think.
13 years.
Yeah, so I mean, I have some really hot matchups.
Yeah,
give us
a couple of hot matchups. Walk us through those.
Sure. Okay, so what we've got, let's see, we'll just start right at the top here. We have, let me find a good one. Okay, first we've got in Virginia. All right, so we've got a hop-on, hop-off beer and wine tour. That sounds fun.
In Charlottesville?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then that's up against UMBC, and they are much smaller. So what they have is a small community theater in the woods that the review was hilarious.
In the woods of Baltimore?
No, it's actually in Cantonsville. That's okay. The important thing,
County.
Just outside. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the show attendees were mostly middle-aged, which is a plus because the atmosphere was fun but calm. That was the TripAdvisor review of local attraction in this
yeah.
town.
Yeah,
we also know that.
I'm at that age, fun but calm.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's
great.
So number 16 seed UMBC also has as its mascot the retriever, the golden retriever, right? Or is it the retriever? But it's kind of a scary-looking retriever. It's kind of growling. So, I mean, first of all, let's how does that lead us to a pick? Hop on, hop off, beer and wine versus theater in the woods.
Well, I mean, you really have to ask what's going to produce better basketball players.
Right.
So I'm going to go with theater in the woods for this one, which is a huge upset.
I think that's right.
Big upset.
I think that's right.
Huge upset.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, aren't you taking hop on?
Seriously, if this turns out to be true, it's be like that octopus that picked all the horse races, or what was that? You know, the Super Bowl.
It was actually a horse that picked a lot of octopus races.
Yeah, yeah,
you were close.
Yeah, whatever that was. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, another great one here.
But
is...
I agree with the logic.
All right, let's hear another one of Julia's, and then Bill will try to mansplain to her.
Sure, no problem. Okay,
always a show highlight.
So, one that I particularly enjoy is Seton Hall versus NC State. Now, Seton Hall is in Newark, New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. So I selected, there wasn't a lot of choices. Oh, I have to say before we go too deep, every single town in America has churches, parks, and escape rooms. So
escape rooms, yeah.
I took those out.
You happen to be in Hartford's right now, but anyway, go ahead.
Right. So for Seton Hall, I chose the New Jersey Transit, which is an excellent light rail. And for NC State.
As a tourist destination?
Yes, that was one of the choices on TripAdvisor.
Yeah, go ahead, you're in charge.
And,
that's not considered hop on, hop off. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous to treat that as a hop on, hop off.
Anyway. NC State, we have Pump It Up, which seems like a weird place where you can drop off your kids to be watched. So, you know,
that's the name of the place where you leave your kids?
Pump It Up.
Yeah, that's right.
So
fittingly
that,
for a big sports town, the only daycare with steroids.
Right.
Yeah. Now, to go back to your FBI investigation stuff.
I want to know what Juice Break is like. Pump It Up. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. So Arkansas versus Butler, that's Boingo Bounce, which is a giant bounce house like festival, versus Butler has an American Drugstore Museum. So I feel like we have to take the Drugstore Museum out because who knows what the players are putting in their bodies.
Oh, no, I think that's like a good thing, though. I want to go to a Drugstore Museum. And I don't want to go to a bouncy house because they're covered with MRSA.
I think we know it gives them the
edge.
Did
I get in trouble for saying
that?
She's
saying it's wrong. She's trying to take a moral position on
this. No, but think about
it. She's saying we shouldn't do it.
What's going to produce a better basketball player?
Bouncy houses?
Yes, that requires a lot of athleticism.
Up and down. It's kind of, you got that up and down thing,
I guess,
bouncing.
I guess
the ball
I guess.
Dribbling.
It's
I can
a
see where
really
she's going.
Tough
she's
method
wrong,
here.
But I can see where she's going with this.
So now you get to do some analysis, Bill Curry.
Okay, but as I said, it took me all these 9 years to realize that the only reason I'm here is to be boring.
And it's not the only reason.
Yeah, no.
It's a big reason, but it's not
really
the only
reason. Let me say, it's the sine qua non. If I weren't boring, I wouldn't be here. Let's face it, okay? And I would just like to say, for those handful of people who like basketball who are still listening, I would point out two teams that I kind of like. And one is Michigan State and
the Spartans.
And the other is Virginia.
Right. So we already know
however,
Virginia
has... I'm a little off on Michigan State now because one of their players got the FBI spotlight on him. So that kind of took the tang out of it for
Virginia has a broken wrist problem with
and
the player.
Virginia has a broken wrist
which
problem.
Happened in a bouncy castle.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's all true. Yeah. And
which is why they're not a good idea for
that's
basketball
right.
players.
You know, things have gotten so much more entertaining right here since we fired the fact checker.
Right.
Virginia plays old-style real defense, and they have gotten to the top of the AP Top 25 by playing the kind of defense that the last time I saw it was here in Connecticut. Jim Calhoun, those 90s teams, Ricky Moore, best defensive player I ever saw in college. And I think that there's a lot less of that going on. And Michigan State plays a really tough inside game. And both these teams are kind of throwbacks to the way basketball used to be before it became in the NCAA every year a little more like the NBA, which is star-driven, which at some point brings you back to the FBI investigation. And it's part of what I think is kind of gone wrong with things. So I vote for those two teams. Yeah. Would you like me to also mention, should I mention my favorite matchup?
All right. Before that, I'd like to point out this year, because of the FBI investigation, Michael Flynn is the coach of Radford. Mike Flynn is actually coaching one of the teams this year. I'm not sure how that happened, but it may just be like a witness protection thing where they put him in. Actually, if you wanted to hide somebody, having them coach the Radford basketball team wouldn't be a bad idea.
That'd be great.
All right, what's your matchup?
My top matchup is this Saturday.
Yeah,
and it's I picked this up off one of your Facebook posts, and it's Iona, Iona College, which is named for the Iona in the Outer Hebrides, beautiful island. Some Christian brothers came to the Maritime Provinces, came down toward New York, founded a college. As we're talking about these, so many good basketball teams come from religious schools. They're number 16. They're playing Saturday against Duke. So they've got this great Christian tradition, and they're playing a team that is actually part owned by the devil himself.
Right.
And
they're called devils.
Yeah, and they are. Well, yeah, I was getting to that.
Oh,
yeah.
Stepping on your line. Sorry.
And so it would, I agree, and they've got Grayson Allen, who is the devil's actual son.
Right.
This is originally named Damien. Playing for them. And,
I mean, I really do think Grayson Allen may be some kind of weird sociopath. He's like, He's like that guy in Breaking Bad that was, Keep going.
That's right, because you're a real Christian, and that's a whole other thing. That's right. A good way to look at it. That's the right way to look at it. There's no question about it. But he is a little annoying. And
so
you've got Iona.
Yeah.
And the great thing is that what it would take for Iona to win is a miracle.
Yeah.
So, and you know, watch Saturday.
They have access.
I'm predicting an actual miracle. The first 16 upset of number one in the history of the tournament.
Wow. Well, that would mean a glow in the dark mini golf course would beat a Lemur Center, which would also be ridiculous.
Wait. So who has the glow in the Iona
has glow in the dark.
Mini golf,
and Duke has a Lemur Center.
Oh, a Lemur Center is so good though, right?
So good.
Don't you want to go to a Lemur Center?
Yeah. Oh,
glow in the dark. What's Iona got again?
Glow in the dark mini golf.
They're both good.
Yeah, they're both really good.
Or if you could have one of those and just let the lemurs run around on it too, that would be good.
If there were glow in the dark lemurs, I would go to that.
Yeah.
Now.
So who are you coming? So I'm picking Iona. I'm picking number 16 Iona. In a miracle matchup, beating Duke. Who are you picking?
I'm going with the lemurs.
Me too.
Yeah. So while I'm talking,
are really like establishment politics. Well, it's just a conventional, really. When it all comes, you go, so all this, who's their mascot? What do they eat? What are their tourist attractions? And then it turns out she's like a kind of like conventional wisdom.
Well, no, for example, the good matchup, Julia, I know this might be hard to find on your bracket, but the University of Pennsylvania versus Kansas, which is another 16-1. So it'll be probably an extreme corner somewhere on your thing. This is considered to be the best. No 16 seed has ever upset a one seed. And this is supposed to be the best chance in history for such a thing to happen, because UPenn is probably a little bit underseeded at 16. Kansas might be a tiny bit overseeded at 1. Mm-hmm. There's an actual chance of this happening. And what they've been saying on a lot of the sports shows is it really comes down to what they have in TripAdvisor, and they were not able to look that kind of stuff up. So,
well, this is actually, wow, this is, I didn't know if this was going to come up, but Penn was the only place not to have a TripAdvisor. Like, there's zero things. But Kansas,
but they're, Bill. They're in Philadelphia. I mean, there must be some the Rocky statue. Yeah.
So they're technically in like a university town. So that doesn't count.
I thought you could say alternate universe, no TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
So I guess they are their own attraction. Versus for Kansas, we have a biodiversity center that seems pretty cool.
Biodiversity.
So that would be a big.
I don't feel that's a deal breaker.
It's not exciting. Right,
so it's the Rocky statue versus the Biodiversity Center?
Perfect. There you go.
You kidding me? And it's pretty clear cut, don't you think?
As Bill Burr pointed out, until recently, Philadelphia's sports traditions were so bad that their big commemorated hero was a fictional boxer.
Yeah.
and they didn't have a statue of Joe Frazier, which he thought might be because perhaps some of their odd attitudes about race in that city. But they adjusted that. They did do something about that. They now have a Joe Frazier statue. So one thing I want to point out this year is, like, if there's a motto for this tournament that describes an unusual feature of this tournament, it would be this.
You tell that wildcat behind the wheel not to slow down, though.
because, in fact, there are four Wildcats teams, and there's a Wildcat on Wildcat matchup in the first round that might be followed by another Wildcat. In other words, it might be a second round. You've got Davidson playing. Who's Davidson playing in the first round? Kentucky. Davidson's playing Kentucky, and then I think that leads to a game with Arizona, also a Wildcat team. So you've got a lot of Wildcats playing Wildcats.
I feel like that shouldn't be allowed.
Like, you shouldn't have two mascots?
Once it's taken, it's taken.
Oh, you mean only one team can be the Wildcats?
Yeah.
And only one team can be... Yeah, well, that could... I think it would be... Well, you know what that would lead to? Biodiversity, which they believe in Kansas. You'd have more biodiversity if not everybody could be a Wildcat.
And
only one team could be.
It would make people be more creative about how fierce
your personalities
are.
Have merged. It's like we're getting almost the identical analysis. Wow.
Consider this analysis?
Like, what's left of you is just a pod. Okay. Julia has overtaken.
Do you think Julia has corrupted my ability to think about basketball? That might be true.
Yeah, I think. Well, I mean, I just think that she's overtaken.
I'm not upset.
Corruption is a word I don't throw around that much.
All right. So we're going to talk about corruption in the next segment. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back. We'll have these wonderful. They're sort of the host. I'm kind of just the sidekick on this show. But Brian Curtis will be joining us also from The Ringer as a guest, assuming he doesn't just hang up based on what he's heard so far.
Yeah, he's gone.
All right, we're back. The question has come up, is anybody still listening? So if you want to establish that, you can tweet at us at WNPR Colin, at WNPR Colin, if you are still listening. That's all you have to do is say, I'm still listening. You don't have to be, you could think of something funny to say. That would be nice, too. In studio is Bill Curry, playing the part of Bill Curry, Julia Pistel, a founding member of CT Improv. Towards the end of the show today, we will have our annual Obscure College President of the Year. He's the president of Lipscomb College. We reached him, I'm not kidding, in the Cayman Islands, which I know doesn't sound good. I know that sounds like it might be connected to some of this FBI
where
stuff.
The bursar's office.
Right. But joining us right now is one of our favorite regular guests here, not regular enough to suit my needs. Brian Curtis is joining us, editor at large at The Ringer. Also has a terrific podcast, which I've just recently discovered, called Press Box, which is a lot of fun to listen to and covers a lot of the things that we tend to be interested in here. So, Brian Curtis, welcome back to our airwaves.
I'm still listening.
Oh, good. Right? That's good. Okay. We've got one.
There's one.
Yeah, I don't know if you can you count the guest as a listener?
You have to. You know? No, you
sure.
Can't.
Yeah, that's right.
Why not? Okay. In fact, that brings us to four.
Right. So, Brian, one of the things that we thought about doing this year was instead of having Bill Curry as our regular basketball analyst, having James Comey come on, somebody with FBI background would be pretty relevant here. So this is one of the overarching themes of this year, right, is that, the FBI is actually – maybe even wiretapping some of the people involved in our beloved national pastime.
Yeah, you're not, when you say follow the money, you're not necessarily sure we're talking about the front page of the newspaper, right, or the sports page in this case. It's been, I think, the most noise. It also, I think there's a little bit of a parallel by what we're going through in politics when, the whole point of this, right, is who is the bag man in this case? Who is the person who provided the money? Who is the go-between allegedly between principals like Arizona's coach Sean Miller and the players and all these things? It's a little weird. I do think this is going to be like the Olympics, though. Remember, how for the Olympics we spend 3 or 4 years talking about corruption and graft and all the horrible things that the host city has to do to get the games? And then as soon as the Olympics starts, the very second we go, ooh, what's curling? Oh, this is great, So mm-hmm. I kind of think that's going to happen with the NCAA tournament starting on Thursday morning.
Right. Well, Bill, that's a similar point to you. You were saying essentially the same thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's this whole thing about, who really cares? And obviously the sports fans and the fans of each sport, whether it's the Olympics or basketball, they, suspend other interests for the big show. I hope that doesn't mean that people don't care enough. Certainly to the Olympic experience has been that what you constantly see are authorities who want to clean it up, clean the sport up just enough to keep their jobs. So I'm hoping that the FBI coming in here, that a real outside law enforcement entity, can make a real difference. I think it's also, by the way, what's happening off the court affects what's happening on the court. I think it's affected the quality of the game. I think it's affected every aspect of college basketball. The money. This is literally pay to play, and it's not what it was supposed to be.
Although I would say, I forget to mention, one of Julia's jobs in this segment is to occasionally use the phrase KenPom in a sentence. Mm. You can use it any way you want. You can use it as a verb. You can, it doesn't matter. It's just an all-purpose phrase. And it's fun to say. Just practice saying KenPom.
KenPom.
Yeah. See, it's nice to say. It's like Stormy Daniels. It's a fun thing to say. It's not like Stormy Daniels in any other way.
It's not that much fun, but yeah.
The one point that I would make is that one of the things that came up here was this notion that maybe Arizona paid $100,000 to get DeAndre Ayton to come there, which I think is actually the best use of $100,000. I mean, if all that cost was $100,000, I mean, that was pretty thrifty budgeting by Arizona, if that's what it turned out. But to your point, Brian and Bill, I mean, nobody's going to be talking about that. They're just going to be watching DeAndre Ayton, who strongly resembles in his impact on the court one of those monsters, those kaiju monsters in Pacific Rim.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think sports fans are very good at keeping things in different parts of their mind. You know, maybe we would say closing their eyes, but I think they're good at keeping things in their mind. Also, by the way, I think the greatness of the NCAA tournament is like the oldest sports story is David versus Goliath, right? Which I think even made the back page of the New York Daily News when it happened. But the NCAA tournament is that every round, and you don't need like months of sports writers and people in the media telling you the story. You just look, right? You just look at those numbers: 16-1. All right, I get that. You know, 5-12 every year. We see there's an upset in that game. And you know, it brings in all these people who don't care about this stuff, who don't really know who these players are and never will, but can enjoy the spectacle all the same.
Julie, what do you think about that?
I think, KenPom loves an underdog, right?
Actually, KenPom is incapable of love, but that was a good thing to say. I'd also like to point out that the New York Times failed to do an obituary on Bathsheba, and they are now apologizing for that, too. So they may have covered David versus Goliath, but they're making up for some other mistakes that they made. Did you have an observation? You seem like you're ready to make an observation, Bill Kerr.
Well, just that, you know, as with politics, that, you know, does anyone care is the biggest thing. And we tend to look at everything now as if it were a reality show. People all watch reality shows. They know they're rigged. They know they're scripted. They watch them anyway. It's like the quiz shows of the 50s that were found out to be all rigged or some rigged. No one really cared. And it's reached the point where our politics is almost the same way. And again, everybody is like a fanatical alumnus. And so maybe you just give up. Maybe you just let the agents bribe the players to play defense, you know? I mean, maybe you just accept the system into which you've fallen. Or someone's got to come in and really clean this thing up.
Players ought to be able to make some money out of this. Everybody else makes insane amounts of money.
I get this real issue. But, you know, I look back again. This is my, like, old Mr. Wilson, get off my lawn kind of stuff. But I remember when Connecticut was part of the Yankee Conference. Our big five rivals were the other New England states.
And the ball was made of wood, too. They had a wooden ball.
Yeah, yes. Bite me. But student athletes were actually students. The people in the stands weren't lobbyists and big alumni donors. The seasons were actually the length of actual seasons. And somewhere in all of this, you know, I get that it's become the biggest show on earth. But you know, the star system that this has produced and the quality, the kind of basketball it's produced as well. I don't think it's done that much. And here in Connecticut at UConn. Where we were all thrilled with how basketball raised our national reputation. Sports as a whole, you put throw football in there with it, it's draining the coffers, it's costing the reputation. Basketball can make a university Michigan State, but it can't make it Michigan. If you want, you know, we need to build a great research university. There's an argument to be made here that this has become actually a distraction and somewhat of a tarnish.
All right,
there's a lot to be gained by cleaning it up.
We have two listeners, Mary Beth and Dan Ruff, are on the Twitters at WNPR.
Well, we have two people who are willing to admit they're listening.
They don't want to hear a lot of public policy about that, though. Julie, did you have anything you wanted to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really interesting. I mean, there's a limit to how far basketball can bring you, right?
You're supposed to say KenPom.
KenPom.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, I had real thoughts.
So sorry about that. Yeah. So
never let that happen again. Okay.
So Brian,
I'm done for the show. That's it. You know what?
So Brian Curtis, speaking of looking back in time and get off my lawn and all that kind of stuff. So there was a time when really all we had to go on was, you know, any games that we'd watched and stuff we'd read about, and you get your pencil out and you scratch your head, and then Nate Silver came into the world
and it was just. Just as revelatory to me when I was 13 and started looking at the betting lines and realizing that the team with a lower number in the tournament wasn't always a favorite in these games, and I went, whoa. And now I feel like I had a similar experience when I get on 538 and I can look and see that Virginia not only has a 98% chance to win their first round game over University of Maryland, Baltimore County, which I would have probably figured, but has an 18% chance to win the entire tournament, right?
Wow.
And that's fascinating. You know, excuse me, 14%. And I can go, you know, down the line by games. And, you know, I feel that in a way it's good because I used to love to do NCAA pools. And at some point I felt like everybody knew more than me. And I was, you know, the pool player walking into the pool room in Minnesota Fats goes, hey kid, you know, you like pool or something like that. And I was just giving away money.
Mm.
But now I feel like I have a fighting chance. So I've been on this thing all morning.
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, the entire career of Nate Silver is based on the premise of giving nerd underdogs a chance to compete against cool people. I mean, that just works. It's a thing that works across platforms. So that's a good thing. Although, I feel as though when I look at it, and I'm a big 538 fan and I listen to the podcast and stuff like that, but there's sort of like when 538 and basketball come together, it's like, well, first, step one, suck the joy out of everything. And step two, get a lot of other people to do a lot of work for you and then create an average out of it. I mean, that's basically what they do, right?
There is a little bit of that. It drains some of the mystery. I mean, I'm looking right now at the number 4 seed, Arizona. And when you tell me they have a 1% chance of winning the NCAA tournament, that's a little sad, right? Well, I kind of want to believe even a 4 seed has a better chance than that. You're telling me essentially they're not going to win the NCAA.
They have a kaiju starting at center from an interdimensional portal in the bottom of the ocean.
Even DeAndre Ayton can't win the NCAA tournament for him. So, it does take a little bit of the varnish off. I agree.
So another thing, does anybody just want to talk about the datafication here? I mean,
well, I was just going to say it only matters if it's right, you know, and that's why people like this. I mean, Nate Silver told us a lot of things the national election that turned out to be wrong.
And that he loved us.
Right.
Which also not true, I think.
So, you know, I would love to see what his actual results are.
You know who is right a lot of the time?
Who?
KenPom.
Yeah. And by the way, what is the effect of all this stuff? One effect is that if David and Goliath really was the first sports story, and David had like a 1 in a million chance,
right.
And people became accustomed to realizing that the David and Goliath aspect of March Madness was an optical illusion based on the data, they might tune out.
Well, Nate Silver would have said that ultimately, you know, he gave David a 1% chance to win, and then it happened, and so he was not wrong.
Yes, that is. I've heard him do that rap in other contexts.
True.
I resent that. So very quickly, Brian, I know the other thing that you've talked a little bit about, and I have to say that I didn't really get to see this year, but there's this selection show that happens on Sunday where you find out all the brackets, and that's not fundamentally an interesting thing. I mean, I guess it's an interesting thing if you're on a college campus and you're wondering whether your team is going to the Big Dance. But just like somebody writing names on lines is not fundamentally interesting. So, take it away.
It's become content in a way, hasn't it? You know, it's sort of like we now have an NFL schedule release show on the NFL Network, and that's kind of a similar principle. This one's a little bit older. But it's also funny because I think what's interesting is you look at Twitter and nobody really likes the way the NCAA bracket is announced, right? Everybody complains about it. It's sort of like the Oscars broadcast where you earn your Twitter merit badge by complaining about how long it is or about how the second of the three and a half hours is really boring and they need to figure out how to do montages better and stuff. Everybody gets really, really mad at this thing as if, you know, but nobody quite says, why don't they just release this on Twitter, you know, at 6 o'clock Eastern on Sunday afternoon? They just say, can we just get it into 30 minutes? Can you just give us the West bracket first and then tell us the at-large teams? I find that to be very, very funny.
Yeah. I think also having as an analyst this year, Sam Nunberg, was a bad call. I don't think he added anything to this. Well, Brian Curtis, great to hear from you again. We're going to go to Julia for a few matchups here towards the end of this segment. Brian Curtis is the editor-at-large at The Ringer, which is a terrific site to read about not just sports, but entertainment and all kinds of other stuff, too. And Brian, the podcast is terrific. I'm really having a lot of fun with it.
Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate it.
All right, press box. Check that out. Make that. Put that on your phone. Do that. All right, so we've got a little bit of time left in this segment. Julia Pistel, for those of you just tuning in, and also those who turned off the radio and then turned it back on to see if this was still on.
yes.
That, all kinds of people like
a
that.
A larger group.
They're still doing this? So Julia is handicapping the brackets this year by looking up the locations of each school on TripAdvisor to see if there's anything fun to do there at the school if you're a tourist.
Yeah.
So give us a run a couple of other matchups.
I am very sad to hear that Arizona has such a low chance of winning from Nate Silver, because I'm really excited. They have a miniature museum that is apparently not great for children. So I don't know what that means. I'm very intrigued. But that's up against one of the other really, really funny ones.
Wait a minute. Wait a second.
Yeah. Hold on.
What is the miniature? Like miniature what?
Miniature
everything?
Like furniture.
Oh, miniature furniture.
Or like little
stuff.
Scenes.
Miniature stuff. Yeah. Excuse me.
Miniature what was the second
but, one? But... miniature stuff, like
miniature
little,
stuff. They've got.
Why little, wouldn't that be good for children? They put
I
the
don't
stuff in their
know.
Mouths?
It's mysterious.
They get lost. Okay.
That's
okay.
Why I'm so excited about it. Okay. But that's up against one of the other most ridiculous things, which Buffalo has a replica statue of David, and the TripAdvisor review is, "Why is this here?" Which I think is just
like,
hilarious.
Like the David, like the yeah. Michelangelo David.
Oh, that yeah. snarky TripAdvisor, huh? Yeah. I mean, really, that's a. Well,
Bill, have
shade.
You seen the internet? Come on.
Could I say one thing about the, could I no. say one thing about the Statue of David in Buffalo? Yeah, one word: shrinkage.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very cold in Buffalo.
Yeah. Another really good one is Cincinnati has the American Sign Museum, so that's a bunch of neon signs. That's fun, but that's up against Georgia State, which has a Walking Dead tour led by an extra from The Walking Dead. I mean,
and so you
come
must
on,
be picking them to
great.
Win the whole thing. I mean, seriously, that's pretty much it right there, right?
I mean, yeah, that's amazing. But yeah. I can't pick them to win the whole thing because, like, the big heavy hitters, like, these are, oh, this is a 6 seed and an 11 seed, but NASA for Houston versus whale watching at San Diego State. Those are, like, the two coolest things in the world.
No, Walking Dead. Walking Dead
really?
Win it all. Yeah.
Wow, you were really all in on Georgia State.
Oh yeah.
15 seed.
Yeah, I just changed. I'm throwing Michigan State and Virginia out.
I also really like. I don't know. Did LIU have they played?
They've
yet?
Lost. They lost last
they
night.
They lost.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Darn! Because they had a cool axe throwing place.
Well, they're in Brooklyn. Wait a minute. They're throwing hipsters are throwing axes in Brooklyn.
Of course they are. Come on.
Artisanal axes right. that they spent 5 years making each axe, right?
Axes yeah. in guitar yeah. into a mosh pit. It's right. not. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, but Villanova has indoor skydiving. So that's pretty cool.
Well, how can you have indoor skydiving?
I have no idea. I don't think you understand. I spent a maximum of 3 minutes on each school.
Well, we could speculate on how you have indoor skydiving. All right, so you get the last, I don't know, you want to do some more actual basketball analysis on this? I would like to announce that I'm seriously as I get about this. I am picking Arizona to win the whole thing. I didn't even know about the miniature museum. I don't especially like the miniature museum the more I hear about it, but it doesn't make me like Arizona more. But they have I feel like it's Guillermo del Toro's year, right? So he won a lot of Oscars. Pacific Rim is his movie. There is a kaiju monster playing for Arizona. So I'm going with the kind of Guillermo del Toro theme here.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to just add one sentence to what I said before about UConn. That is, yes, you can't go back to the Yankee Conference or short seasons or a lot of other
West
things,
but you could.
Yeah. Who was a neighbor of mine in Farmington, a wonderful man. However, you could go back to the Big East hat in hand and beg them to take you in so that you were playing real rival schools that people in Connecticut had already heard of before the tournament. And where the quality of play is superb. And to do that, you'd give up football, which is costing the university a fortune and which was never Connecticut's sport anyway. And you could just take this huge sports bet that Connecticut made a few years back and decide to cut your losses. And so that would be a really good thing. Second thing, who do we want to root for as opposed to who we're
going to
okay.
root for?
Yeah. We're going to root for Virginia. And we're going to root for Virginia because no other team's championship would do so much to frost Coach K at Duke. It would kill him. Okay, I mean, it might actually.
It is so bitter
he might retire.
And petty.
It is bitter and petty, and but that's what having real rivals. You know, that's what sports is really all about.
You know, in a world where they have a.
Okay, I'm going to give you the. And then the other good reason is,
yeah,
if you really love basketball and you really, you know, remember the days when there were, you know, real defense being played and real plays being run. If you appreciate. Well, you don't like any single aspect of it. There's nothing about it you like, so you can't get to comment. Then a Virginia victory would bring some of that back.
I just want to say, Julia, that you know Bill, his hatred of Coach K and his hatred of Duke, he doesn't even see the Lemur Center that's there. There's
the
Lemur Center, and he can't even see it because he's so blinded by rage.
Yeah.
I know.
Blue Devils,
yeah.
Grayson. And by the way, they have the two most hated players. Okay, it's every generation. They had Christian Laettner and now Grayson Allen. And you want to say this is coincidence, okay? You know, you want to read your Nate Silver, and then you want to say that it's coincidence and the data means nothing.
You're like a lemur trying to see in the bright sunlight. Mm-hmm. You can't see at all. We have to take a break. We're
going
to be back.
I've always been a lemur trying to see in the bright sunlight.
With the obscure college president of the year, that's what's coming up next.
It's time for March.
Today's show was produced by Jonathan Yellowjackets McPants, Betsy Eagles Kaplan, and me, Kyone Wolf. Amanda Fish is one of the fighting pickerel. The part of Bill Curry was played by Christian Laettner. Tomorrow, a show about Adolf Hitler. And now, back to Bill and Julia.
Lips come university, hear thy children's song. Grateful hearts now pledge anew, love both true and strong, love for thee.
That, of course, I hardly need to tell you, is the alma mater of Lipscomb University. Lipscomb University is the school that we are featuring this year. Every year when we do this show, we feature a school that's maybe in the big dance for the first time or close to it, or a small, plucky Cinderella-type school that will be taking on some behemoth. This has led to a very strong relationship over the years between us and Wofford. But Wofford is not in the big dance this year. But Lipscomb is, for the first time ever. The voice that you heard most prominently singing that alma mater was the singer Pat Boone, who attended but did not graduate from Lipscomb University, which is a Christian college based in Nashville. But he did, along with our guest right now, the president of Lipscomb, tweak the alma mater a little bit, bring it up to date. You are hearing it's being sung in its slightly modified state, I think, for one of the first times ever in that recording. Joining us now is L. Randolph Lowry III, president of Lipscomb University in Nashville. Welcome to our show, Dr. Lowry.
Well, thank you so much. I'm actually talking to you from the Cayman Islands, and it's good to talk to you. Appreciate the interest in Lipscomb, and we love Connecticut. I drove through it 2 weeks ago.
So you're a well-traveled man if you've gone all the way from Connecticut to the Cayman Islands in such a short time. Have you been sort of taken by surprise by the fact that you're a small college and unheralded, for the most part, basketball program is in the big dance?
Well, it is an exciting moment for us. I haven't checked recently, but at one time we were among the five smallest Division I schools in the country. So it obviously is a challenge to create a really, really credible program. But over the last 10, 12 years, that really has happened. And we're just pleased to be a part of it.
So on Friday afternoon, you'll be playing the University of North Carolina Tar Heels. Have you heard of them?
We've heard of them.
Yeah, they're pretty good. but on the other hand, and I know you're the president of the university as opposed to a basketball expert, but at least one basketball expert, Alex Kirshner at SB Nation, thinks that this could be a wildly improbable upset, that Lipscomb really has a chance when it walks out on the floor because they're fast, they play an up-tempo game, they force turnovers, they get a lot of defensive rebounds. I would imagine that you would add sort of prayerfulness as another attribute that might help Lipscomb upset this Goliath they're facing.
Well, it's going to be an amazing experience, however it turns out. But, you know, there is that real possibility. North Carolina has not had a season quite as strong as last year. And if Lipscomb could play them all game like we played the first half of the game that got us here, it would be an exciting moment.
I would like to also point out that Wofford did beat them during the regular season. They are beatable. They're even beatable by a smaller school, not completely unlike your own. So, you know, if you had to sort of in one sentence describe Lipscomb University, that's probably very hard for a president to do, limiting himself to one sentence. But what would you say?
Well, Lipscomb University is a 127-year-old university in Nashville, Tennessee. It is a primarily a liberal arts and professional level educational institution. We have about 5,000 college students, and we have the unique circumstance of also running a K-12 academy. So we actually educate everybody from pre-kindergarten through doctoral programs.
And Pat Boone did attend that academy, as I understand it.
Pat Boone is a colleague and friend of mine. He graduated from the academy.
Exactly. So I want to ask you a few other questions. There's some fascinating things going on at Lipscomb. One of them is, I was able to read a little bit about this, but I want to know a lot more because the article in the Tennessean that I read was a little incomplete. But it seems as though a Nashville repertory theater company and your drama department are combining to do a performance of Inherit the Wind. And if I divined correctly what was being said in this article, it seems as though maybe the cast would include some Lipscomb students who really are interested in and maybe even adherents of creation science?
You know, that may have happened since I left town.
Yeah.
In terms of that, you know more about it having read the Tennessean than I have that article. But certainly our College of Entertainment and the Arts tries to do thoughtful and challenging projects many times in cooperation with professional companies or professional orchestras and symphonies. And so it wouldn't surprise me they put an interesting combination together.
And your biology department does include creation science texts, right, in its curriculum?
It would. And we would take a strong Christian view of how the world was created. But I think we also would recognize that we work really hard to understand science and what it can tell us as well.
So I want to bring up the horrible scandal that hangs over the Lipscomb athletic program, and that is that you guys are the Bisons, which is not technically a plural, right? I mean, the plural of bison is bison. So can you address this as an educator?
Well, when I first got to Lipscomb, obviously that was something that drove me a little bit crazy. Actually, we did some investigation and did find a dictionary that did include the plural. And so I feel somewhat vindicated. But, you know, in reality, there are things that become traditions. And people love those traditions, even if they're not always accurate.
So you are and forever will be the Bisons. I understand that the nickname's about 80 years old and kind of maybe even has something to do with the foundation of a basketball program at Lipscomb and going to the sports store to buy jerseys or something?
I don't know that story, but I do know that Bison were in Nashville walking near the rivers in town. In fact, there's a large boulevard that has bison walking down it to commemorate that. So there is some connection to the national environment.
So is there maybe one last thing that you'd like to say about on an inspirational basis? I mean, it must, first of all, tear your heart out that you're in the Cayman Islands with your team facing the University of North Carolina tomorrow. How will you stay in touch with them spiritually?
Well, I will actually be there.
Oh, you'll be
there. I just got off a cruise ship I'll fly back to Charlotte this afternoon, so I intend to be at the game and be there to cheer them on. I think our athletic program, you know, what we seek to be is really the best Christian Division I program in the country. And by that, I have a real interest in the academic performance. We've won the academic trophy in our conference the last 4 years. I also have a tremendous interest in the character of those who play every single team at Lipscomb goes on a mission trip and seeks to, you know, be part of our humanitarian contribution to the world. And then I hope we're really good athletically. And I meet with the coaches periodically. And while I love the academic and I love the service, I love to win too. So I hope they will take that seriously as they do. It's really not our first time to the NCAA in all sports. We've been there several times in volleyball and baseball and women's basketball. But it is the first and exciting time for men's basketball.
So, speaking, I think you're far too gracious a person, Dr. Lowry, to bring this up. But doesn't it seem to you a little dadgummed odd that you have to play North Carolina in Charlotte?
Well, you know, as I understand, at least there's a rumor out that they want to be very kind to those teams that have been there often. And those of us coming for the first time, you know, have to expect that it will take a few visits before we're treated quite that way. But, you know, whether it's a field stadium in Charlotte or it's a field stadium somewhere else, they got 40 minutes of basketball to play. And I'm hopeful they surprise people like we did at Florida Gulf Coast. They come out of the box and score a bunch of points. And the crowd even says, whoa, let's root for the underdog.
All right. I think a lot of people will be doing that. And I want to thank you very much for taking time out. Dr. L. Randolph Lowry III, president of Lipscomb University in Nashville. Go Bisons!
Well, thank you much.
But it really should be Bison. All right. So in a way, Julia Pestel and Bill Curry are still here. By the way, if you're still listening, tweet us at WNPR Colin.
I have a suggestion for the president. I just think he should hire Julia.
Right.
To just research his all the highlights on his campus and then just have a little cheat sheet he can take to these interviews so that he actually knows what's happening.
Right. He also loves to travel, so she could look up some destinations for him. So one of the things Julia's done this year is she is actually the only thing that Julia's done this year, but it was a very laborious enterprise, was to scout each one of these bracket schools on TripAdvisor. So looking at that Lipscomb-North Carolina matchup, what do you see there?
Okay. Well, Lipscomb's in Nashville, and Nashville is really cool. So what I chose to represent them is not too shabby. It's RCA Studio B, where Elvis recorded. So that's really cool. However,
that is a pretty hip choice on your part.
Yeah. I know.
You had a lot of,
North Carolina, the number one attraction here was the basketball museum. So they are like all in just for themselves. So I actually gave it to North Carolina.
It doesn't get any more American than that, huh?
I know. And I was surprised. They were the only ones.
So you sort of picked Michael Jordan over Elvis is what you just did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the hottest matchup there is. But, of course, you have to pick Michael Jordan.
All right. We've got, by the way, we should say that Julia is one of the founding members of CT Improv. CT Improv in their fabulous new theater downtown. We should plug this while you're here. And it's almost never dark there at night. There's almost always something happening at CT Improv. If you have an empty Tuesday night in your life to fill, they probably can fill it for you. Is there anything in particular you wanted to mention that's coming up? Or?
Oh, man, we have so much great stuff coming up. We have a comedy cage match coming up on Friday. So that's three teams compete and you vote. So it's just like this. You go in with zero knowledge and then make a big life-changing decision.
Wow. see what she could bring that guy from Lipscomb? Yeah, right. She didn't have to hesitate.
Right.
Do you ever anticipate Bill Curry performing at CT Improv?
Oh,
I've performed there many times.
Yeah,
so.
That would be really, really wonderful.
Great.
You're invited. You're officially invited. And we also have a big comedy improv festival coming up with improvised hip-hop as our headliner. So
I'd have to be funnier than I am on the show.
You just have to be yourself, and then we just tear you apart.
Oh, you laugh at me. Oh, well, that would be great.
So we've got just a minute or two left. We might be able to get back to Julia for one last matchup, but what have you got here? Give me 60 seconds.
I want to give you two things.
Don't talk about UConn again. Talk about something else.
Maybe. I think we should. I want to tie together all these themes.
All right.
One, we should go to Nate Silver and have him handicap the likelihood of the winner of this tournament having the title revoked due to the FBI investigation, remembering that Duke, Kentucky, Michigan State, Maryland, North Carolina, Kansas, all under investigation. Villanova, Virginia, half the top-ranked teams. There's a 38% chance of somebody, a 14% chance of the number one seed making it. There's a 50% chance that whoever makes it, the title will be revoked. That's time for action. The second thing is about UConn, but it's about the women, and I would just say this. All that I said about going back in time to a different, to when this game was played differently, and I think less athletically but better. Boy, you got to take hats off to Gina Auriemma. This is as good a sports program, in professional or college, in any sport that I myself have ever seen.
People are saying this might be the best UConn team ever. I saw that article. Okay, so we had about less than a minute left. Julia, who do you have winning? Who's at the end of the whole thing?
I chose, based on sheer awesomeness, New Mexico State, because they have a giant Roadrunner sculpture made out of crutches and keyboards, and I want to see that. So I was really excited about them. Also in my Final Four was West Virginia. They have a Morgantown History Museum, and the review was, "More than just Don Knotts," which, if there's a
how
slogan.
Can there be? How can there be more than just Don Knotts? All right, we have to stop there. Once again, thanks, as usual, to Bill Curry and Julia Postel. They will
Julia
be back
beats me again.
Next year and next year and next year until the end of time.
I'm finished.
Until kaijus pour out of the ocean floor and kill us all.
Ken Ponds.
Which might happen actually next week.